Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on the subject of suffering. Yesterday I told a story about a young mother, 30 years old, with cancer. She had little children. She was facing terrible possibilities. She called to ask, "Can you tell me something that will help me to trust in God?" And of course, what we would all like to be able to say is, everything's going to be just fine. You don't need to worry about a thing. God is going to heal you. Well, there are plenty of people who would say that, but you're not listening to one of them. I do want to assure you that I believe that God can and does heal people, but he doesn't always. There are times when God has a higher purpose, which he shields us from knowing. He simply says, "Trust me." And we have many examples in Scripture of God not lifting people out of the difficult circumstances. Think of Joseph being in that pit. God didn't get him out of that by a miracle. He got him out by his brothers wanting to sell him to some Midianites, and then he ended up in prison, and years went by when God was not apparently doing anything at all. So the Scriptures are full of stories. John the Baptist had his head chopped off instead of being delivered from prison. And so I couldn't say that to this woman. I also was telling you about Lilius Trotter's lovely illustration of a flower's calyx, which are the little green petals that are like a pair of tiny hands that hold the petals of the flower. And so when it's time for the petals to drop, the calyx opens its hands and the petals fall. We think of the life and death of Jesus. Why this waste? And I told you the story of Joan Andrews, who has languished in prison for years because of her protest against abortion. Arrested more than 120 times, sentenced to 5 years in prison, and I don't know where she is now or what the story may be. But as one judge said, why would anybody want to waste their lives in this way? We look at things from a different standpoint if we're Christians. We see that there are interpretations of the things which take place on this level which are far, far above anything that we could humanly imagine. And I want to talk to you individually today, if I can do that. Whatever your test may be, through accident, maybe through physical disability, your own mistakes or failures or disobedience. Aren't they among the most painful of the things that we have to deal with? Our mistakes and failures. We know we should have done it another way. We did know better, and yet stupidity. Perhaps the hostility of others is the test that one of you is enduring today. I'm here to say that God is able to help you to meet your test. I read a verse from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 yesterday. "Since he himself has passed through the test of suffering, he is able to help those who are meeting their test now." He is able to help you if you're meeting your test now. He was made like us. He had to be in order to die. He had to die in order to break death's power. So if you have found one of these talks helpful, I would love to hear from you. I do pray constantly that the word of truth may reach those whose ears are open to hear it, and that the Spirit of God will apply my halting and incomplete and sometimes, unfortunately, misleading or misunderstood words to the sore place in your life. The surrender of Christ was not to a fate that he could not avoid. He could have summoned legions of angels, couldn't he? But his was a surrender to his Father God. When you and I open our lives to the will of the Father, we enter into that same mystery. It's true that Jesus was put into the hands of evil men, and so are we occasionally. There are times when following him means just that, as it has in the radical and costly way for Daniel and Paul, Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the 20th century, Corrie ten Boom, Betty Scott Stamm, who was captured by Chinese communists and beheaded, and Joan Andrews, who was in prison, perhaps still is, because of her protest against abortion. And there have been numberless others in the history of the church who've been imprisoned or killed for their faith. Are we to conclude that the reason they got killed was because they didn't have enough faith to trust God to protect them? What would we say then about the Son of Man, who besought his Father with tears in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If it is possible, let this cup pass. But if it is not possible, not my will, but thine be done." And those words open to us the possibility that there are things which are impossible with God. Isn't that right? Otherwise, Jesus would not have said, "If it is not possible." There are things which are impossible if the will of God is to be accomplished. And I would certainly hope that you feel as I do, that you really only want one thing above everything else in this world, and that is that the will of God should be accomplished in and through us. And that's what I pray that God will do through these short, simple programs. Maybe some of you are struggling with relinquishing your children. That's something we talked about not long ago. We have to take our hands off. We have to part with them without too great a struggle. And I can remember my brave mother, and I was with her many times when she said goodbye to one or another of my brothers or my sister, and often saw her say goodbye to me. And although the tears would sometimes well up in her eyes, she was very brave. She never broke down and sobbed in front of us. She didn't want to make it hard for us to do what we had to do, to go away to school or to college or to the mission field. I do remember as the ship pulled away from the dock in April of 1952, as I was headed to Ecuador, South America, the family was standing there on the dock and, of course, grew smaller and smaller and smaller, and I kept my eyes focused on them in all the crowd that was there, trying to make sure that I could still see which ones they were. And I do remember not seeing my mother pull out a handkerchief or collapse into my father's arms or anything like that, but I can remember her pulling the fur collar of her coat over in front of her nose and mouth. And I don't think it was because of the cold. We need to control our feelings and not let our children feel that we're going to go to pieces when they leave. We must give over the authority and the control and trust them to God. There can be a very painful severing if a child rejects what his parents have been trying to teach them. But remember the little calyx. The next stage of the cycle of nature is hands off, ready to part, ready to entrust the child to God. But when that child has rejected what you've taught them, and the severing is painful in the extreme, at a time when you feel that all has been done that could be done and all has been done in vain, the time nevertheless comes to let that child go. Just as the father of the prodigal, when he turned his son over to God, gave him the inheritance, knowing what he was going to do with it. Surely he knew the character of that boy and what he was going to do with it. He was going to blow it. He must have seen the direction that he was going to take. But he prayed for him, and he waited every day for his return. God cared for that young man in a way that the father could never have done. God brought him to bankruptcy. That was a severe mercy, wasn't it? And he returned him to his father, repentant and willing even to be a mere servant. God may be asking you to sell a much-loved house, to part with material things, to retire from a position in which you think maybe you're irreplaceable, or to turn over your fears to him. "Does it all seem hard?" said Lilias Trotter. "Does any soul, young in physical or in spiritual life, shrink back and say, 'I would rather remain in the springtime? I do not want to reach unto the things that are before if it means all this matter of pain and dying.'" To such comes the Master's voice, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." You are right to be glad in his April days when he gives them. Every stage of the heavenly growth in us is lovely to him. He is the God of the daisies and the lambs and the merry child hearts.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.